Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be with us this morning. And once again, it's going to take us a little while probably to get used to just what the Sunday experience is going to start being like when Faith Factor's here with us. But for the second time, they are joining us now as part of our worship here on Sunday. And we're going to continue to try to have them be with us at least once a month on Sunday mornings. Usually around the third Sunday of the month is what we have planned. It looks like we're going to be able to keep that part of it at least through the end of the year. There is so much that is taking place here amongst God's people. I think by now our members do understand that when our worship is over here, whatever time it takes us to get over to the Christian Life Center and get things ready to go, there is a special voters meeting that is going to be taking place. We'll try to get started around 11:30. We've talked about the business that takes place. It is an important meeting. And so on behalf of our people that are members, please join us for that today. We need to take the time for that we need to, but obviously we don't want to intrude too much on people's day, especially following worship. So please join us for that. Regarding Sundays, a couple of things. Now, next week, we're going to be bringing in some new members. Again, not a large group, but a group of God's people that are going to be joining our church again here. We'll have a time of fellowship once we're done with worship. And then next week is the last time that we worship at 10 o'clock until May. In 2 weeks, we go back again to our 8 and 11 o'clock services, with the education hour moving to 9:30 and it becomes a full hour. I think most of God's people are used to our two-service schedule. And we want to thank everybody that has made this one Sunday service something just so very, very special. In your announcements page is also something about the All Hallows Eve, and it's actually a kind of a post-All Hallows Eve thing because it's after Halloween. It's on a Saturday night after worship in a couple of weeks, and the biggest thing that we need from there, we're taking donations of candy, bags of candy that we're going to be sharing with that. And to try to give a little bit of an incentive to God's people, for those especially who can bring a child who is a guest, we have got some golden tickets that we're going to be getting ready. Now, there's a movie from years and years ago, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Be thinking of that. If you don't know what that means, well, just think about it for a minute. We've got some golden tickets that we're going to be giving out, especially to anyone, both to those that bring the guest and to the guests themselves, that they'll be able to redeem in the month of November. So that's all part of All Hallows Eve. It follows our worship a week from this coming Saturday. We'll start talking about November worship as we get to that there. We also want to just make sure that God's people understand we've been working this past week through disaster relief things. I've actually got a video we're going to look at right after the offering. It's going to talk a little bit about the things that we're going to do, and we'll just talk about the disaster stuff that is at that time. Today is also a script order day, and we're going to be able, for those that the script order cards, the faith cards that we're ordering, we're going to be adding another order Sunday in the months of November and December because, first of all, because the week that we're adding is probably the most important week, so you can have them before Thanksgiving and so you can have them before Christmas. But it's also an opportunity to let God's people know, hey, here's your time to get your gift cards that you're going to need, whether it's for your shopping or for gifts that you're going to be sending out for Christmas time. By all means, take advantage of the script program. Even if you haven't up until now, Roseanne Verheyen will be in the back. We will take the time to make sure that we can do that. And indeed, we are actually working on some additional special things that are going to be for the attention of all of God's people as we prepare for them to go to Minneapolis next July. A huge pilgrimage for each one of our youth. So, okay, just the last thing I want to have is just to remind everybody, although the Bible studies are before worship, the Bible study, Pastor Sankey will return again next week with the Bible study that's here in the sanctuary. We have now added one on Saturday afternoon before worship at 3:30, the parables of Jesus. It's way back in the music room which is behind either the conference room or the nursery. You can access it from either room again, 3:30 on Saturday. As you are able, please stand. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, our Father invites us to enter into his presence and experience the gift of his rest. So let us come before him in repentance and faith, beginning with a time for silent prayer. Holy God, merciful Father, too often we pull away from the peace you promise to your children. Forgive us for the ways in which our thoughts, our words, and our actions go against your will for our lives. For our neglect of you and your gift of grace, we ask for mercy. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose work on the cross has secured our place in your kingdom, renew us and lead us, that we may rest in your presence. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Receive the rest for your souls that only Jesus' work has secured." Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we sing Born in Christ.
I rejoice. The first lesson comes from Hebrews. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to you just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united, by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed entered that rest, as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken on the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all of his works." And again, in this passage, he said, "They shall not enter my rest." Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards in the words already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not hearken your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God should not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did for his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, and joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts of the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but as are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since there have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of our Lord. Friends, just a moment ago we heard these words, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." Well, indeed, my friends, we are in what is supposed to be a day of rest. But when you look at the English language and the words that we associate with the word rest, is this something that's really a good thing? For example, do you really want to be lumped in with all the rest? Do you like the idea at some point, maybe later today or something, of being under arrest? Wonderful thing, isn't it? Or just maybe, once we get done with worship, special voters meeting, and what else we're going to do, perhaps by then it'll get too late for us to start doing some cooking, and we would rather have our day's big meal at a restaurant, okay? So, and there's many other examples, but those were about the three most prominent that I saw. And somehow, there's only one of those three that harkens to the type of rest that God's people are supposed to be engaged in. Now, obviously, the concept of rest is something that is very important. When God created the world, He created the world ostensibly in 7 days, but actually in six, and then on the seventh day, He rested from all of His labors. And as you start getting your 2019 calendars, I've already got mine, they look in some ways a lot like the 2018. And one of the ways they look the same is that the way those calendars are set up, Sunday is over here to the left, the first day of the week. Saturday is over here to the right, the seventh day in which God rested. Here we are celebrating the love of Christ, what He has given to us by rising from the dead on a Sunday, and it's why we worship on Sunday most of the time. But God indeed set forth that rest was going to be important, and indeed, we need rest. It is estimated that for most of us, we're going to spend between 1/4 and 1/3 of our lives in something like a bed or something else like that, getting sleep or rest. And that's a lot. There is no way that we're going to spend anything close to that doing anything else. And yet, with all the time that we're spending there, how many of you always wake up feeling rested, ready to go? The earthly rest is a fleeting thing indeed. And if you want to look at one of the words that is, if there is an opposite to what we call rest, the opposite would be restless, or perhaps restlessness. And that's the world that we live in today. It truly is a restless world. Now, the Lord gave us the Sabbath, and from the very beginning, the Lord set forth how important the Sabbath was going to be. He even set forth in such a way so that as the children of Israel in the desert were gathering the manna, they were told to gather a double portion of manna on the Friday, because there wasn't going to be any on Saturday. And then, incidentally, for those that must wonder, well, was there some sort of a natural phenomenon that was something that we'd never seen before, we'll never see again? Well, that's some natural phenomenon that knows enough to make twice as much on Friday so it can take Saturday off. A remarkable thing. But that was where the children of Israel were reminded that this was something really important. This was something we needed. And yet, it seemed like when God's people found it, shall we say, convenient, they had no problems. Removing an ox or something out of that might have fallen into a well or something like that, and why would that be permissible when so many other things weren't? Because that was their living that went down there. And how convenient that would happen. And lest we forget, there was the day when Jesus died on the cross, and the day when Jesus rose from the dead, died on Friday, rose on Sunday. And it talked about after Jesus died, the women preparing the spices and preparing. But then it says, but on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But apparently not everyone did. During the Sabbath, the religious leaders go to Pontius Pilate and says, you know, we remember how that imposter said, well, he was alive. He's going to rise on the third day. And here they are using the Sabbath to confab, to try to find a way to make sure that there is no way that Jesus is going to be able to conquer over them. But he did, didn't he? And by that victory, by the fact that he defeated death, he who called himself Lord even of the Sabbath, now today we see what God was really up to. Oh yes, God was declaring that rest is important to us, but he was also declaring that the most important thing was something that was yet to come. That even the Sabbath rest was pointing forward to something much bigger, much better. An eternal rest for all of God's people. And indeed, we will spend our lives in utter restlessness until the time that we are reunited with Jesus. There is our true rest. He who gave his life up for us. He who now lives and reigns forever and has prepared a place for us. Not only will we get to see what rest is all about, we will get to see that Jesus is indeed. We're going to remove us from all that makes this world such a restless place. How we ourselves, in the midst of sleepless nights, over some of the things that bring about on this life, the nights that we have to spend taking that telephone call in the middle of the night when you know it's not a wrong number. The restlessness that comes about where we would do anything to be able to feel the joy of sleep, but the pain that we're feeling or whatever it might be just will not let us. But in the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith that he has given us and the power of the Holy Spirit, even in this world, we can see and show and share what that rest is all about. And unfortunately, sometimes it shows a rest in a very different way. Where God's people get to see that the rest that we are waiting for really is going to be something far better. There's a story from not that many weeks ago. There's a young man who started working for what was considered to be one of the finest pizza places in Battle Creek, Michigan. And well, if anybody has ever been to Battle Creek or been to the place that is called Sam's Pizza. Anybody been there? A couple of hands went up. How about that? Sam's Pizza in Battle Creek, Michigan. And this young man, a lot of people aren't supposed to start working until they're 16. This young man started working, making pizzas and boxing up and whatever else he had to when he was 14 years old. He was so dedicated to what he did that by the time he turned 18, they made him one of the managers. He had not been a manager for very long when he got a telephone call. Not that long ago. It was from a nurse in a specialty hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana, about 200 miles away. This nurse said, it was just called and said, I was given a card to mail to you, and I just asked the family, well, what's in this card? And it actually was a request for a pizza. And a confused young man said, well, talk to me, what's going on here? And said, well, there's this individual, he's down here in the hospital. He's not going to live much longer. But his favorite pizza was always Sam's Pizza, and so he asked if I could have, and she said, I don't know what I'm asking for, but she said, if you could send a card, if you could send even some napkins, something that has Sam's Pizza on it, and you could get it down here before he dies. She said, he will die a happy man. And he thought about it, and he said, I'll get back to you on it. He thought about what it is that he needed to do, and well, the next thing you know, several hours later, this same individual calls the nurse's station and says, yeah, I'm the person with the pizza. Well, where are you? I'm down in the lobby wondering what floor I'm supposed to go to, and I have a pizza for this individual. He made the pizza and had somebody make sure that they covered, you know, so that Sam's could stay in business, and drove over 200 miles with a pizza for this individual. The hospital staff was so impressed by it, they said, well, you know, can we put you up? And he said, no, I have to open tomorrow morning. So he not only made the drive down, but then went and made the drive back to give an individual who was preparing for his eternal rest one final moment where he got to see just what earthly rest is all about, that how it is that God supplies his people. Indeed, my friends, the restlessness that is going to come about will only end for each one of us as we are called to glory in Christ Jesus. But as we are called in his name and with his love with us, with all that Jesus Christ did to earn our Sabbath rest, now, my friends, it's waiting for us. Until that day comes, may we also be willing to share the amazing labor of our rest that Jesus Christ has given to us, he who lives and reigns forever, he who has prepared for us, who has defeated all death and has prepared us for an everlasting rest, a rest for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. The words are up on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, for he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We now receive our offerings. And while we're doing the offerings, we ask that you fill out those faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you, both our members and our guests. At the conclusion of the offering, the ushers will be taking those cards up for you. And during the offering, our praise group is going to be singing, and you can join with them, Ancient Words.
Words of preserve for our cause.
Friends, I sent out a couple of different communications this past week. One in midweek was focused on the flood bucket program that the district kind of challenged us to do. I am pleased to say that we have prepared an additional 50 flood buckets. We're short just a few items. On the email that I sent this past Friday, I sent a couple of reminders of a few things that we're short of. We still need some scrub brushes to make those a kind of a reality and finish them up. Most of the rest of the stuff we now have. We're waiting for some things from the Senate, some of which goes in the buckets, and then some of which becomes a facing on the bucket. And then by late week, we're going to be sending those to a staging area at Hope Lutheran Church in Plant City. And apparently we need to have those there by the end of the week because they are going to be sending a huge shipment of them up into the Gulf Coast region. One of the other things that I expressed, I had waited, I was hoping to get an update about midweek, what was going on, and it frustrated me a little bit that there was essentially nothing since the previous week. Well, we got to Friday, and we finally have gotten an update. Friends, some of the images that you are going to see here are going to be very powerful because it is some actual scenes from our affected LCMS churches, including the one that used to be in Mexico Beach. And so as we click to the next slide, the video will start immediately. I'll just remind the booth person, be prepared to increase the volume for us. Let's watch that video now.
The most immediate needs, I suppose, in the community right now is Christ and fellowship and continuing to lift one another up because everybody's in the same boat.
I got another alert on my phone basically saying the same thing. Max winds are close to 200 miles an hour. Gusts. Right. And you get this feeling in my stomach when like that, the world doesn't behave normally. Everything comes apart.
The whole city has been destroyed, really, and most of my members that I have been able to contact have been telling me it's like a nuclear bomb went off, or the apocalypse is a word I've heard a lot.
I've never seen so much devastation, so much heartbreak, so much shock. You know, when the people come in, sometimes all they do is just look at me, and they can't talk, and then tears start coming. But the hugs, and God is good, is just what they want to hear, and that they're going to be okay. That's why it was also so wonderful when, you know, our wonderful President Johnson came in and gave that word of encouragement, yeah, that you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
So we're at Redemption Church here in Panama City, and as you can see, I mean, it's almost a complete destroyed thing. This is a church that's in a lower socioeconomic, you know, neighborhood. They've got a part-time kind of a pastor who's, yeah, who's working, and I don't know, you know, what's going to happen. They don't have any insurance, you know, and so we're going to have to work and see what we're going to do to be able to help them recover. This is devastating, as you can see.
We're not going to have power in Mexico Beach for up to 2 months, 8 weeks. And they're still trying to figure out about water and sewage, which is one of their big concerns for health issues.
This is where our living water building was. In fact, I can sort of say the outline of it.
What we're standing on is the foundation of Living Water's building. It had been a realty building that was purchased by the district, and we rented it from them, and we're going to purchase it in like 5 years. So today, I'm meeting with the city manager, and the purpose of that is really to find out how we can partner with them down here. When I was with her yesterday, briefly, she was saying how they want faith-based people to come in here to really be here for the people who are still living here and for the workers that are coming down here to be an encouragement for them.
We ask you to bless Dave and his people and his leaders as they reach out to this community shattered and broken by the storm, that they would be able to proclaim the gospel of peace and hope and salvation that's in Jesus Christ. And so we just ask you to bless my brother, bless his congregation and their mission work in this community. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
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 There are several stages that we're going to be going through in the relief efforts. Of course, even though these are brothers and sisters that are in a different district, the way that our districts are set up in our church body, these are Florida congregations that have been affected. You can see that all that was left in Mexico Beach is just a foundation. Right now, the most important things that we can do are the cash donations. And you can see that the website, I'll be sending out another communication this week that will include the various websites, lcms.org/givenow/disaster. I also sent in that midweek one, and I'll send it again this coming week, a communication from the Senate that included a link to Thriven. Thriven hasn't done matching funds in a long time. They've restructured how they do that. That's why we're now getting those action grant cards. But they have agreed to set up $1 million so anybody that sends money through Thriven can have it matched now until they have reached their goal of $1 million. For now, that and the flood buckets are the primary ways that we can help. As you can see, as things start getting set up again, and they are already working, where can we stage people? How can we set up where they can stay and where they can get some food and stuff like that so that they can come and help? When opportunities like that begin to emerge, it'll present for us a special challenge. We will be back in communication with you about an opportunity like that. Maybe the first church actual mission trip that we've taken in a long time, just to go up to the coast and work for several days. We'll stay in touch with you on that. And in the meantime, this is an opportunity. The other thing that obviously we can do and we need to do for so many people that are hurting is pray. And so as we prepare for the prayers of God's people, let's also remember those people. And so, my friends, please stand as we continue in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you in the midst of the darkness and the restlessness of this world, that you have given to us all things. You are the source of our blessings. We thank you that in the midst of so much darkness, you have shown the light by which we have come to know you, the mercy by which we are able to come and worship you, and that by which we are able to receive a true Sabbath rest in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh God, today and always we worship you and thank you for all of the blessings that you give to us in such great abundance, not only to have, but also to share with those in need. Blessings seen and unseen. Blessings that are able to give the love of Christ into so many situations. Lift us up from our own restlessness, from the things that would keep us from seeing you, from the trouble of this life, from the times that we choose sin rather than the path that you lay out for us. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. With your most precious blood and body that you have given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins, draw us now to yourself. Protect and prosper your church through these times. May we now be the people that are going to lead the way, to help bring people back, to see that there is true hope in the midst of tragedy. Take our hearts and fill them with your love. Take our lips and fill them with your truth. Take our gifts and use them for your work. Take our lives and use them for your purpose, and make us vessels of your grace, examples of your teaching, witnesses of your truth and glory. For those who are undergoing any sort of trouble of body, soul, heart, and mind, look with compassion on them, as well as people who do not know or love you. Feed the hungry, comfort the sorrowing, strengthen the weak, restore the erring, heal the sick, bring companionship to the lonely, uphold the bereaved. If any wish to be remembered in our prayers this day, look on them in your mercy. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that we now name before you in the privacy of our own hearts. Dear Lord, as you have shown us a path that leads us to an everlasting eternal rest. So direct us in all of our ways until that time, that we may walk in the light of your truth, serving you joyfully until we enter that place that you have prepared with us, where we shall be perfectly blessed and praise you as our God forever and ever. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Friends, just so that you will know, that last song that we just sang, The Love of Christ, was written by the guitar player, Mr. Larry Zimdahl, who has written several, and we'll get to hear those from time to time here through our worship services as they share with us. Friends, please stand as we pray together our closing prayer. O God, our Creator, you set in order all things in heaven and on earth for the benefit of your children. Grant that we rest from our labors and receive the peace your Son has given. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Friends, go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the suffering, honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and give you peace. Amen. Remain standing as we close with Jesus Messiah.
Oh,
about those folks. They do all right, don't they? And thank you again for joining us for that. They will be back again the third Sunday in November. Also, they'll be back next Saturday. And usually two Saturdays and one Sunday a month is how we have them set up, and one of our Christmas Eve services. So members will get started, probably give us 15 or 20 minutes to get over to the CLC. For all the rest of you, thanks for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.